In the name of Jesus, we command every spirit that is not like God to stand down in Jesus' name. We are the stronghold in this region. And we legislate what comes in and what comes out of our region in the name of Jesus. We thank you, O God. Lord God, for the covering. We thank you, O God. We thank you, O God. For what is surrounding. We thank you for angels that are excelling and that are ascending and descending even now. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for the clearance. We thank you for the clearance. We thank you for the clearance in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Your name is established here. Your name is established here. Your name is established here. Your name is established here in the name of Jesus. Amen. In Jesus' name. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning. Good morning and grace and peace. To the 60 for 60 family, we welcome you to 60 for 60 at 5 a.m., where we are giving the Lord our 20 minutes, amen, with him in prayer, in corporate prayer, right? And we're giving that to him with intention. We're giving it to him with reverence. We're giving our attention to him with governing insight and foresight, amen. On today, I want to encourage you, if you're not already in position and posture, I want you to get into your prayer posture on this morning. Amen. And that's not lying down in the bed. Amen. Let's get up. Let's get into our posture before the Lord, whether it's kneeling, whether it's standing, amen, whether it's sitting in a posture, but let's get in a posture of reverence on this morning. 60 for 60 is an initiative that's designed to compel men and women into a minimum of 60 minutes with God each day. And so for those that are new here, we welcome you. We welcome everyone that's returning, and we welcome those that are new. What we do is we break that hour into three increments of 20 minutes. Now, we are not limited to 20 minutes. Amen. We've set 20 minutes in place, but we are not limited to 20 minutes. And so we absolutely pray 20 minutes at a minimum at 5 a.m. corporately. We pray 20 minutes at noon corporately, right on this very same line. And then we pray 20 minutes on our own before day in. The goal is not only time, but the goal is consistency and spiritual government and formation. We are building people who do not need emergencies to pray. And we are building people who do not need pressure to return to God. What we are doing is we're cultivating people that have lives that remain submitted to God. Now, yesterday, for those that were with us at 5 a.m., we dealt with obedience in motion. We established that there are instructions from God. And if you're unmuted, I'm going to ask you if you would please mute your line. We established yesterday that there are instructions from God that do not yield fruit in contemplation. They only yield fruit in movement. And scripture shows moments where Jesus gives a directive, and the manifestation is released along the path of obedience. And we brought your attention to the book of Luke. In Luke's account of the lepers, the Bible says in Luke 17 and 14, as they went, they were cleansed. And so the cleansing was connected to obedience that moved. It was received on the path of submission. So we talked about yesterday morning, obedience in motion is the discipline of responding before everything feels resolved, right? And moving while God is still forming your understanding, right? It is the obedience that refuses to wait for perfect conditions. It is obedience that does not demand the full map before taking the first step. Amen. It is the obedience that honors the wisdom of God more than the comfort of flesh. And then at noon, we shifted to obedience under pressure. And we began teaching through obedience and suffering and spiritual agreements and the redemption of creation. And then we also confronted a damaging pattern. And that is when pain becomes a governing voice in our life. What happens is prayer is reduced to a crisis response. And we did not finish yesterday. We covered points 1 through 4. And so this morning we're going to recap points 1 through 4. And then we will complete points 5 through 7. And after point 7, we're going to pray. So on yesterday afternoon, the first thing we talked about was obedience is learned, that suffering is one of its classrooms. I've taught this before, that suffering is a classroom, okay? It's one of the classrooms. If you're unmuted, again, I'm going to ask you to please check your phone, make sure that you are muted, just so that we don't have any feedback in the recording. Thank God that the recording came on this morning. Obedience is learned, and suffering is one of its classrooms. So yesterday afternoon, we talked about Hebrews that teaches that Jesus learned obedience through suffering. Now, remember, I said one of the classrooms. It's not the only one, but it definitely is one. And Jesus learned obedience through suffering. In Hebrews 5:8, it says, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Obedience is not validated just by your intention alone. It is formed under pressure. Suffering amplifies the voice of the flesh. So the flesh begins to argue, amen, with the spirit. That's what happens. The flesh is arguing for its own self-preservation and also self-rule. The test is whether the flesh becomes your highest authority. So I want you to ask yourself this morning, is my flesh the highest authority in my life, or is the spirit? Does the spirit remain the governor of my response, or is my flesh the highest authority in my life? I need you to sit with that for just a moment. Is my flesh the highest authority in my life, or is the spirit the governor of my responses? And we looked at Job just a little bit as a case study, because God didn't deny that Job was in pain, right? God restored, actually, hierarchy by confronting Job's conclusions with his sovereignty over creation. And so what we discussed was your emotions may accurately describe what happened, but your emotions are not authorized to interpret what it means. Interpretation belongs to God. That was point number one yesterday. And then point number two, we talked about the enemy's strategy is not only to wound you, but the enemy wants to enthrone the wound. And so what Satan often does is he targets the narrative. He tries to persuade you that pain is more authoritative than God's power. He tries to persuade you that your problem or your problems are more exceptional than God's promise. And so what happens is when pain is enthroned, it produces isolation. It produces entitlement and interpretive error. And so this is why suffering must be commonized without being minimized. Scripture testifies that suffering is not rare. Paul lists it, Elijah, he assumed he was alone, but God corrected them both. God breaks isolation because loneliness increases vulnerability to deception. And then point three, we talked about heaven is listening to your words, but so is hell. And both are listening for the conviction. We have to speak with weight. Weight is conviction under authority. And so you probably heard this before, but I'm going to reiterate it to you. Your words function as legal language in the spirit realm. So angels respond to your aligned speech, and so do demons. Demons will exploit your careless speech. And the principalities are tracking your patterns because patterns reveal your agreements. And so cycles are going to repeat when agreements have not been revoked. A person can confess truth while remaining bound if their internal conclusions contradict what they're saying. I'm not going to go into that. I'm going to keep going because I really want to tap into that right there, but I'm going to keep going. Point number four, altars, priesthoods, and dedications. They are very real, and locations can carry history. So we talked about places mattering in Scripture. In 2 Samuel 6, if you read verses 10 through 12, it talks about the covenant presence that was in Obed-Edom's house and how that covenant presence affected the environment. And so what we need to understand is that our altars in our homes, in our businesses, they are going to operate as a system. Altars all have something in common. They all have a priest, they all have a sacrifice, they all have a deity, and they all have terms and gatekeepers, every single altar. And so people can either step into a location and begin to experience consequences that are tied to agreements that they did not initiate, or they can step into a location where they can experience the covenant presence. And so even creation is not inert in Scripture. The earth responds. The earth reacts. And it is given rest through Sabbath law. And so what we learned yesterday is that redemption is not only the rescue of human souls. It also rescues creation's order as well. So let's get into points 5, 6, and 7 this morning. And thank God we are recording on this morning. So you can go back and listen to the replay, but I want you to take a moment and write this down. Point 5 is the garden reveals the sequence. The garden reveals the sequence. Let me get a little bit more detail so you understand. Creation is addressed before humanity feels the full relief. So Luke records Jesus in agony, right? In Luke 22 and 44, it says, "And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground." Now, that detail is revelation. It reveals how Jesus responds under pressure, and it reveals what God is addressing at the level of creation. Genesis ties sweat to toil and the cursed ground, right? In Genesis 3 and 19, it says, "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread." Do you remember that? So sweat is linked to laboring under fallen conditions. That was one of the conditions of the curse. Jesus enters a garden, the very setting that mirrors where the fall began. Redemption is initiated in another garden, right? His blood touching the soil is not presented as just a side note. No, it is a spiritual registration in creation that a sinless gatekeeper by the name of Jesus has entered into the story. Hebrews teaches that the blood speaks, right? Hebrews 12 and 24, it says, and to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. The blood is testimony, and it declares better things. So that means creation receives an announcement before humanity fully comprehends the sequence. Redemption begins to register in the legal realm of the earth because the earth was impacted by the fall too. And the earth is included in God's redemptive order. So this should correct something for us. We are not called overcome by the sweat of our brow. Come on, talk to me this morning. We are called to enter through what? Blood. We are not called to outwork, come on, spiritual realities. We are called to stand on a finished legal victory and enforce it through obedient prayer. Let that sit with you for a moment. Am I trying to overcome by sweat? Or am I trying to overcome by the blood? The finished legal victory, I enforce it through prayer. Point number six. Bloodline patterns must be confronted. And they've got to be confronted with lots of clarity. Scripture recognizes generational patterns, and it also provides us with lawful solutions. This can appear in marriages. Patterns can appear in your finances. Patterns can appear in your mental instability. Patterns can appear in addictions and barrenness and repeated loss. They can appear in repeated betrayal. They can appear in recurring spiritual oppression. I was thinking maybe about a month ago how when I was younger, I just kept having recurring betrayal in my life. Over and over and over, it would make me cry. I was depressed. I was suicidal because I kept getting repeated betrayal. But there's a lawful solution for patterns. We have to recognize patterns because patterns show us something. They provide us with data. They provide us with wisdom. God identifies himself through generational language because covenant continuity is important. He says, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. Do you see this generational language here? And the God of Jacob. This is not just about history. This is about covenant continuity. If you know anything about me, you know I'm about covenant. And most people, I'm telling you, they don't understand covenant. They think they do. They don't really understand what covenant requires. God doesn't just want to have covenant with you. He wants to have covenant continuity into the generations. Scripture also shows repentance that addresses history. Daniel, in the book of Daniel, Daniel repented. He repented on behalf of previous generations, right? If you go to Daniel 9, it says, we have sinned and committed iniquity. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets. If you read that, it's verses 5 and 6. I didn't read it all. But he's not speaking as an individual only. He is speaking representationally. He is addressing agreements that carry consequences into the present that happened in the past. We also clarify deliverance. Deliverance is rarely only an entity issue. Deliverance is also formation. Altars are strengthened by behaviors that match the terms and agreements on that altar. If you read Ephesians 4 and 27, you're going to read these words. It says, neither give place to the devil. I want you to open your Bibles and read that to yourself. It says, neither give place to the devil. Place can be created through. Place can be reinforced through our habits. If we pray against change, I'm sorry, if we pray against chains, tongue tied this morning, right? I'm praying against change. But I'm continuing the same agreement through my character, through my choices. We're asking God to break what we continue to authorize. We got to understand that the Holy Spirit delivers on multiple levels. So he's exposing these agreements. He's convicting our misalignment. He's renewing our mindset and teaching us how to truly renounce and then reestablish. Some of us, we are renouncing with our lips, but our internal agreements are different. But I want to emphasize again to you, neither give place, come on, to the devil. Don't let your place create an agreement. And the last point, prayer is the place of exchange. Prayer is the place of exchange. Luke 22 and 44, again, it shows that agony was the thing that intensified Jesus' prayer. That is the pattern. The pressure that you may be going through right now, that is not meant to silence your communion with God. Pressure is meant, come on, I'm giving you the purpose right here. Some of you have been asking about it, so here you go. Pressure is meant to drive us deeper into alignment. Prophet Zipporah prayed out of Isaiah 61 on Saturday. I believe it was Saturday. Verse number 3 says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Look at that exchange. Look at that exchange. That exchange is accessed through communion and yielded surrender. So prayer is a transaction. It is where burdens are lifted. It is where conclusions are corrected. It is where authority is restored. Peter later teaches a principle of exchange in suffering. He says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Casting is what? It's an action. It's not about how we feel. No, it's an action. I cast all my care. It's a decision. It's a spiritual decision to transfer weight from my soul to God's care. This morning, we are not rehearsing what hurt us. This morning, I'm challenging you to exchange it. I'm challenging you to submit your conclusions to God today. We are allowing the Lord to convert our suffering into formation. I don't know if you all have ever been out of the country and you converted your money. Do the same with your suffering this morning. Turn your pressure into authority. So I charge you to obey in motion. I charge you to obey under pressure. I charge you to stop treating obedience as it's an option or a preference and start treating obedience as alignment. I charge you to withdraw agreement with every story that exalts pain above God's power. I charge you to refuse the temptation to interpret your suffering without submitting your interpretation to God's sovereignty. I charge you to guard your words, because words carry legality. I charge you to speak with weight that matches your obedience. I charge you this morning to recognize the patterns in your life and confront those agreements. Do not deny what is repeating, but do not normalize what is unlawful. Do not ignore what the Spirit is revealing. I charge you today to pray earnestly, even in your time of agony. Do not let pressure silence you. Let pressure drive you into a place of exchange. Let prayer become the place where your soul is reconfigured. You will not, hear me, will not be ruled by pain. You will not be ruled by cycles. You will not be ruled by fear. I need you to put your name there, whatever your name is, and say whatever. I'm going to say it for you. I'm not going to say it for you. You have to say it for yourself, but I'm going to say it so you understand what I mean. Ava, you will not be ruled by pain. Ava will not be ruled by cycles. Ava will not be ruled by fear. Ava will be governed by the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Take a moment. Put your name there. I will not be ruled by pain. I will not be ruled by cycles. I will not be ruled by fear. I will be governed by the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you again. We honor the obedience of your son in the garden. We honor the agony that he went through, but he did not retreat. We honor the prayer that intensified under pressure. And we declare that that same spirit that strengthened Christ is strengthening us today. We declare that we will not attempt to win this war through the sweat of our brow. We renounce striving as our covering. We renounce self-sufficiency. We renounce labor that is disconnected from communion. And we declare that we enter through the blood. We stand on the finished work of Christ, and we reinforce and we enforce victory through obedience and prayer. We declare that the blood of Jesus speaks over our lives today. It speaks mercy where condemnation has tried to govern. It speaks cleansing where guilt has remained. It speaks deliverance where bondage has lingered. It speaks rightful ownership over our minds and our bodies, our homes and our assignments. Let the testimony of the blood register now in our territory. Let every place that we occupy come under covenant order. Let every environment that has resisted peace now yield to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Let the legal witness of redemption be established in our gates, and let the atmosphere recognize that a sinless gatekeeper has authority here, and his name is Jesus. We declare today that our agony will not produce our collapse. But our agony will produce deeper prayers. Our pressure will not produce rebellion. It will produce alignment in Jesus' name. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask for revelation today. God, we pray that you would expose patterns, oh God, that you would expose cycles, that you would give us discernment, God, that is sober, that is scriptural, that is accurate. We repent for every generational agreement that contradicts your covenant. We repent for ancestral idolatry. We repent for covenants made with darkness, whether knowingly or unknowingly. We repent for any dedication of children, of marriages, of wombs, of finances, of futures to deities that are not Jehovah God. We repent for family patterns of rebellion, of deceit, of violence, of murder, of lust, of addiction, of manipulation, of bribery. We cycles to deepen by the authority of Jesus Christ. We renounce illicit covenants. We revoke illegal terms. We cancel demonic claims. We declare that the blood of Jesus is a superior legal instrument over every generational altar. We declare that what the blood speaks is greater than what history speaks. We declare that what heaven has written is stronger than what hell has enforced. We declare today that we will not reinforce bondage through character. We renounce anger that keeps altars alive. We renounce sexual sin that keeps altars alive. We renounce unforgiveness that keeps altars alive. We renounce lying and sabotage and self-destruction. We declare that deliverance will be matched with our discipline. Renunciation will be matched with obedience. Revelation will be matched with alignment. God, we're praying that you would reconfigure our appetites, that you would reconfigure our desires, that you would reconfigure our habits, that you would reconfigure our decisions, that you would teach us how to establish new agreements with God through obedience. We declare that patterns are breaking even now on this line, that cycles are ending even now on this line, and the next generation will not inherit, Lord God, the filth and the debauchery of, Lord God, our ancestors. But we declare a cleansing of this next generation in the name of Jesus. They will inherit cleansing and not captivity in the name of Jesus. Father, we refuse to let suffering become our identity. We refuse to carry pain. We refuse to rehearse trauma. We declare that the prayers of the righteous are an exchange system. Prayer is our place of transaction. Prayer is where we bring what is heavy. Prayer is what we is where we receive what is holy. We declare that agony will not silence us, but it will deepen us, deepen me. Almighty God, I will not allow pressure to mute me, but pressure will mature me. It will mature me. It will mature. It will mature me in the name of Jesus. We reject isolation. We reject withdrawal. We reject spiritual numbness. We reject prayerlessness. Father, we submit our bodies, our conclusions to you. Correct our interpretations. Heal our memory. Purify our motives. Stabilize our minds. Strengthen our inner man. Teach us to pray and pray earnestly in the name of Jesus. Teach us to pray and pray with precision when pain is present. Teach us to pray with endurance when answers feel like they're delayed. We exchange the ashes for beauty on this morning. We exchange the heaviness for praise. We exchange the despair for hope. We exchange fear for holy reverence. Yes, God. We exchange bitterness for purity. We exchange accusation for agreement with God. Hey. We exchange trauma-driven reactions for spirit-governed responses. We declare that we will not remain stuck. We will not remain bound. We will not remain fragmented. We are a formed people, an aligned people, an established people. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer with me on this morning, if you engaged the Spirit this morning, amen. While I was praying, you were praying. While I was in agreement, you were in agreement. Come on. If you touched and agreed on this morning, say in Jesus' name. Come on and seal that thing on this morning. Amen. Amen and amen. I'm opening the line on this morning. Hallelujah. I'm opening the line on this morning. If there's anyone here that would like to come forth, amen, in response to the word of God, in response, amen, to what was released on today, feel free to come forth at this time.
Morning. It's Prophet Emporia. I just thank God for, I thank God for you, Mama, and I thank God for a righteous indignation in His Word. To be guarded and cautious and circumspect with everyday life decisions, because pressure in a lot of different places, it does arise. And I know it can cause erosions in different places in our lives. And I thank God that He will give this word, which is timely, to bring people back into the alignment, to keep us so that we can be synchronized with Him and not keep agreeing with systems or patterns that may seem familiar, because we're used to doing things that way, or we're used to handling things that way when pressure is heightened. I thank God that He is able to bring us back to the stillness and the sobering of His word, that this is how we are to manage life's pressures, that this is how we are to become a stabilized and a steady people. And this is how we address, this is how we confront, because just being honest, as just human, going through different things of life, pressure, even when you may start out strong, you may start out being able to, or doing the things, or even responding the way that God says. Sometimes when the pressure is intensified, our ways of responding or dealing with becomes back futile, becomes back more fleshly. And I thank God today for this reminder to stay the course, stay steady, stay circumspect, and only do it God's way, because God's way will produce even if it seems delayed. So I thank God today. This was a timely word for me, and I appreciate the obedience of God. And so I feel God in this word, and I agree with God. I choose to continue to work out those places in me, to work out what God is saying, to work out, whether it's in action, thought, word, or deed. I bless the Lord this morning.
That's how you respond. Hallelujah. That's how you respond. Glory be to God. We've got to agree with God every time. Amen. We got to agree with God every time. Don't allow your flesh to rule you. Amen. Your flesh going to argue, but it's got to stand down in Jesus' name. Thank you so much, Prophet, for coming forth. Anyone else have a response to the word of God on this morning?
Amen. Good morning, Apostle, and to everybody here. It's Prophet DeMarcus here. I want to thank God for reminding us of who we are. Yesterday, 12 noon was such a precursor for the rest of my day, because I had missed. I've been working out with a fitness trainer here, most of you know, and I had missed day due to me not feeling well. So last night, yesterday, I felt a lot better thanks to all of you all who have been praying for me. And so last night I went to work out, and it wasn't just to work out last night with him, but it was really like a lived parable, because I missed the day, my trainer didn't cut any corners with me last night. It was a lot different than when I first started. He didn't lower the weight. He didn't shorten the process just because I was recovering. And this morning's teaching pressure put language to what my body had experienced. And that is, pressure is proof that something in you is being trusted to grow. He said, when I got there, he said, we got to do double work now because you missed it. And I realized that what felt like suffering was actually intentional resistance, because my trainer saw capacity in me that comfort would have kept hidden. And in the same way as what we've been learning, God allows pressure not to harm us, but because he refuses to train us at levels of our feeling, trains us at levels of our potential. So if the weight last night stayed light, or if my trainer stayed light, then I stayed limited. And what we noticed last night, that because he was pushing me through, regardless of how much it hurt, regardless of how much, we actually got through in a short amount of time than normal. And so the beauty in this is, yes, finished, and yes, I was tired, and yes, I had to push through, but wasn't broken. And so that teaches us that pressure, it doesn't defeat us. It actually reveals who we are. It's not punishment. It's really preparation. And so what I've learned between 12 noon and this morning is that we've got to condition our mindset to think and understand that there really is pleasure in pressure. There's pleasure in affliction. There's pleasure that God takes when we suffer, and when we suffer well, because it all boils down, reveals who we are. And so I thank God for what you have been giving us, Apostle, this morning. It has been such a blessing to me. And to mimic the sentiments of Prophet Zipporiah, I agree with God, and I am positioning myself even more to have faith to obey. Thank you for letting me share.
Amen. What a godly response on this morning. Amen. To the word of God. Amen. We just say thank you, Father, for the release of your word amongst your people. You should feel honored. I know I do. I feel so honored to be under the word of God, the authority of God. Amen, because he's bringing us into a greater level of revelation in his word, and we thank God for it. Anyone else, please feel free to come forth at this time with your response to the word of God. Will there be another? Is that someone trying to come forth? I don't want to leave you out. Okay. Well, we thank God for this time of prayer, and we thank God for what he's going to do at noon, amen, with us again. And so we hope that you are able to join us at noon. And for those that would like to listen back to the replay, you can go to our website, www.sentmiami.com. We don't want to, you know, just assume that everybody knows that we are recording these prayer calls each and every day. Some of them we've missed at times, but for the majority of the recordings, they are on our website, www.sentmiami.com, and that's S-E-N-T-Miami.com. You can go there. Click on more, you'll see 60460. You can click there and you can listen to the recordings, listen to the lessons back, listen to the prayers, and then go back and refresh yourselves on some of the lessons and some of the prayers that were prayed and pray along with them. Amen. So we encourage you to do that. And certainly we are excited that this Sunday, just in a couple of days, we will be celebrating 3 years of the established work, the apostolic work called Sent Miami, down here in the South Miami area. Amen. The apostolic should be moving in every place, but unfortunately it's not. But God has people in every place. Amen. And he's establishing people in various parts of the regions to release and teach on the apostolic dimension. And so we just happen to be one of the one of God's works that he established down here. And we are turning three and we're excited about it. And so we're celebrating with ordination that's happening for two of our elders in training, have been training for well over a year now. And they are ready. This is God's appointed time to release them into the eldership as official officers of the Lord's church. And so we would encourage you to be a witness to the ordination, this beautiful, precious time that the Lord has set aside. It's such a holy time. And so come into the holy convocation of God and be with us on Sunday at 5 a.m. Amen. Join us. And if you are part of our email list, you'll probably get an email. You'll probably get a text. If you're not, go ahead and email us at info@sentmiami.com. And that way you can keep up with what's going on with us all the time. You know, so again, we hope to hear you back here at noon. And we love you. More grace.
More grace.
More grace.
More grace.
more grace.